Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Joni Cannell, your host for Real Life Lessons. Our topic today is listen to a real musician talk about being an entrepreneur. And our leading lady today is Natasha Kozeli with Calabash School of Music and the Arts. Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning.
It's so good to have you on our show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Oh, and this is going to be a good one because I want to tell our listeners a little bit about Natasha. She owns a music and art school. She sings in a band, actually more than one band. And she raises money for the International Rescue Committee, among lots of other things. So I'm hoping her story today will bring the creative entrepreneur out in you. So, Natasha, you have kind of a unique background. I'd love to tell our listeners a little bit about you. So why don't you tell us, you know, where you're from and how you got interested in music?
Sure, yeah. So I'm from the Cayman Islands. I grew up there. My mom's from there. My dad is Lebanese. And since I can remember, I've always loved music and had music in my life. So I don't remember a moment where it happened. It was just always there. And my parents were really supportive throughout my life and encouraged me and gave me many opportunities to learn. And it's always been in my life. And because of the sort of multicultural background that I grew up in, I was also really curious about music from around the world and exploring my identity through that. And so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I also noticed that you have a really good education in music, too. I mean, you studied music in the United States. Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, after I finished high school. Throughout my high school career, I studied classical piano and was really into music. But I was also into many other, artistic fields. I was into painting and acting, and I just had my hands in every bag. And so after high school, I moved to New York City to study acting. And I was there for 2 years at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And then when I was finished and I graduated, I realized, well, actually my real love, what I really want to do is music. So I went back to school, but this time I went to Cardiff, Wales, and I did my undergraduate degree in music, and specifically ethnomusicology, which is the study of world music. And I did my thesis on Caymanian folk music, which was so fun because I didn't actually know much about the music from my own country until I started studying it in university, and that was a really rewarding and fulfilling experience for me and also for my country as well, to have something written about the music, which there isn't anything written about it at all. So it was great.
Wow. That's really interesting. So I really want to know, especially because we're talking about business here, how did you feel empowered to go out and become a musician on your own? I mean, it's one thing to study music and to be in school and study acting and all that, but actually feeling that you could do it, what gave you that sense? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've always been really fearless in showing and sharing my music with people, and it's something that I've always loved. And so I think from, especially becoming a teenager and when I started writing songs for the first time, I loved sharing it with people, and I had a lot of confidence in myself. And so that has always really been there with me. I don't know if it's part of my personality and it probably has a lot to do with just the support that I had around me and the encouragement from my parents and my peers and the belief that they had in me, helped me believe in myself. And so I've always kind of had that, really go-get-it attitude throughout my life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things, one of the reasons we actually do this show is about women supporting women. And hearing you say that it's partly the support that you received for
Definitely,
being
yeah.
who you are and mm-hmm. being successful, that's so important. You know, we try
it's
to get out
everything.
There on our own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you can't do it by yourself. You need people around you to support you along the way. And that's true with every career move that you make and opportunities that even come to your life. They're because of the people around you and the people that you meet. And so it's important not to be isolated.
Well, that's an important point, too. It's not just about getting through the challenges, but it's about getting opportunities as well
mm-hmm.
from
exactly.
others around
mm-hmm.
you. Yeah, especially in the line of work and music, right? I mean, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
like, how do you get gigs? I mean, you're in a couple of bands. Let's start there. So
yeah.
how do you go out and get gigs or whatever you call them in the industry? I'm trying to be all hip here,
yeah.
but...
Mm-hmm. No, it's really hard, and especially at the beginning when I first moved to San Diego and I didn't really know anyone, and so there was a lot of, you know, I just played every gig that I could get, and I would play from the open mics to, you know, the not so nice bar gigs, you know, and then you kind of do for a couple of years, you do all this sort of hard work. But eventually, you know, you meet people and then you also learn too, like the kind of gigs that you want to play and the kind of gigs you want to say no to. And, but you know, it's great to have support, you know, to ideally I was looking, oh, maybe I can get a booking agent who can help me do all this stuff. But, in the end, instead of waiting for someone to come help me, I just went out and did it myself. And the last tour that I did was actually the first tour that I did, which was the Golden 30 tour, where I decided, like, I played a house concert that a friend invited me to play. And I was like, wow, house concerts are way better than playing actual concerts and venues because people listen, they're there, and they're really present, and it's just such a more rewarding experience as an artist. So I was like, I'm going to book myself a house concert tour. And I just woke up one day and I decided that's what I was going to do. And it was going to be for my 30th birthday. And it was going to be to raise money for the Syrian refugee crisis. And I just sent out all these emails and people were so supportive. And that was the first tour. And it really, for me, it feels like the only kind of tour that I want to do, because you really get to meet people and connect with the audience in a more intimate way. And but it's hard because you have to be the business person and the artist. And not a lot of artists have struggled with that, you know, to think about their career from that side. So I guess, yeah, I feel fortunate in the fact that I have always felt comfortable with that in some ways.
Yeah, well, that is actually one of the questions I've been burning to ask you, Natasha. How did you learn how to run a business? I mean, you know, we talk about creative types and business types and all these different types of people. Well, you have to be both to do what you do.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was definitely a big learning experience for me. When the opportunity came to transform from just a piano teacher at this little studio to becoming the owner and making it my own, you know, that was really exciting for me because I had always been active in the studio, not just as a piano teacher, but I was always doing so much extra. I was always, like, organizing open mics and wanting to, like, contribute more to the space and to, you know, what I believed it could be, you know. So I think that's one of the reasons why the owners thought of me first when they were deciding to sell it, because they saw that I was so proactive and that I wasn't just clocking in and clocking out and teaching my lessons. I was there staying late and thinking of ways to inspire the students. And I think now as a business owner, when I see the teachers that work for me, you know, those are the people that really stand out to me, the people who are there for more than just money or more for just, you know, coming in to do their job. They're there because they believe in something bigger, and that's who I am too. So, you know, I think when you can see that in other people, it inspires you to give them more opportunity and to take them with you on your journey, you know? So for me, that's kind of what happened. And when I became the owner, you know, I wasn't alone. I had a friend, a really good friend who I trusted, who had a lot more experience in business, come on as my partner at the beginning. And I learned so much from him and his wife, you know, because they had, you know, all this business experience. But the struggle for me actually was, even though I was learning all these practical things and all this sort of business side of stuff, I really desperately wanted not to make my school this corporate sort of entity or feeling. And coming from where I was coming from, that was also something I had to teach them. You know, I had to fight a lot for certain qualities and things that I wanted to do in the way that I wanted to do things to maintain that sort of artistic, creative, but also just, you know, vision that I had for the school. So it was it was two ways. Yeah.
Well, you know, let's step back for a second and explain to people. Tell us what Calabash School is like. Just give us an overview first.
Yeah, okay. Calabash School is the feeling that I hope people come when they is feeling like they walk into a home, you know, and that was a big part of the design of the school when we were renovating the space, was to make it feel open and full of light and very natural. So it's full of like beautiful art and plants, and plants are everywhere. Actually, it's like a jungle school. You know, the feeling that when you come in there, you're not just coming to some, you know, cold studio where it's really strict, and you know that you're coming and you're being supported by artists and friends around you to be who you are, to explore the kind of art and music that you want to do, not to make something that we're telling you to make or is the right way. And so that's the philosophy of the teaching too, you know, to help people find their creativity and to guide each student in what they're interested in, what really lights their fire, because for everyone it's different, you know. So that's what we really try to create and foster.
Well, yeah,
and
I
also,
can tell you, yeah. Well, I just walking in there, because I have walked into Calabash, and especially when it first opened, when Natasha took it over, mm-hmm. and the first thing I noticed was this beautiful oriental rug on the ground.
Yes.
And I said, wow, this is just, yeah, it's like a home, you know. There's
yeah.
a piano and there's some pillows, places to sit. And I said, this is not your typical, like you said, sort of corporate music school. You go in for a lesson mm-hmm. and you leave, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was inviting. So
good.
Certainly
good. I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah.
Continue. I mean, you talk about what do you do with the students. I mean, I know some about that as well. I mean, you know, you light the fire for each individual student. And what mm-hmm. kind of things do you do? What's different? I mean, I guess music lessons tend to be, you know, I think of, you get a book, you learn mm-hmm. the notes, you learn mm-hmm. technique, and then you mm-hmm. practice a piece to play. All right, that's
yeah.
standard. But mm-hmm. what do you do that's different?
Yeah, well, I mean, for myself, you know, when I was studying piano, classical piano especially, and it's really common to just, like, stick to the sort of rigid routine and plan of, like, how to teach piano. But, like, classical music especially, or just music in general, I mean, if you think about what's being played on the radio and kids are relating to and what is real in their life and what they like, you know, it's important to be able to be flexible, and that's the main thing. And every student is different. They're all interested in different music and different purposes that they have. So just creating that safe place first, so that they can feel free to express themselves and to be honest with you about what they like and what they don't like. And then it's up to the teacher to challenge themselves to find what it is that inspires their student, and if that means throwing out the books and teaching them how to play by ear all these jazz songs that they love to play, and or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, it's important to be flexible to them and to just always be searching for what it is that can help them to keep loving the music and loving what they do and finding themselves in it. And that's challenging, because it's easy to just, like, open the method book and just turn the pages and just go through that. But, you know, at Calabash, we try to think outside of the box and give them other things to inspire them, and also create opportunities for them to create their own music and art, because that's, for me, is where the most joy comes from. It's not from playing other people's music, but from playing my own. And to teach students how to do that is, I think, is a really special, special gift. And giving them opportunities to perform that for other people, too.
Oh, that is special. I mean, I don't know how many kids get that opportunity to go in and create their own music at a young age and
mm-hmm.
actually have people appreciate it as well. So, I mean,
yeah.
these are the kind of things that are great for musicians, but it also helps people be more flexible in life and more creative
yes.
in life. I mean, do you
mm-hmm.
see students take this outside of music and do it in other ways? I mean, you say it's music and the art. So what else? What else comes out of it for that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's. I mean, gosh, I could talk forever about how important it is to for students to have music and art in their life, and how not only great it is for them to learn to think creatively, but also just I see it in their own just mental health and how they feel emotionally and the ability it has to make them feel good and make them feel relaxed and give them something more in their life that is, you know, therapeutic for them and gives them joy and fulfillment. And it's not about, you know, I always tell parents, like, it's not about becoming a rock star. Like, that's not, if you think that your kid will never do that and so there's no point in lessons, then that you're missing a point completely, because if you have that gift of music in your life, throughout your life, it will help you, and that will, it will bring you joy. And gosh, it's important, not just as like a career thing, but just as something, everyone should have it in their life, because it's just a great thing. Yeah. Continue.
I was just going to say, I know a lot of older people, and I won't say how old are my contemporaries here, but still play and enjoy music just because it's been something they've done all their lives, and it is therapeutic. Even in the business world, you're out there and the grind. You need something to do when you get home or on the weekend.
Exactly.
And what a way to have some balance in your life. Let's just take a tiny second here because, you know, sometimes our listeners want to reach you after our show, and I would like to know how our listeners can contact you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if you go to my, I have a few websites, the Golden 30, the number 30.com, or natulamusic.com, or even natashakazaley.com. Or calabasharts.com. They all have contact pages that have my email or a message form that you can reach me at through them. And it all comes straight to me personally. So I'll be reading your emails and I will definitely reply. So that's the best way to get in touch with me. Or you can also email me at nkazaley@gmail.com.
Okay, well, if you didn't catch that or the spelling, just go to our website, and we'll have all their contact information listed on our show notes for Natasha.
Thank you.
Natasha, I want to get into some special things here, because, first of all, we talk to a lot of women on this show, right? It's Women Lead Radio, and I'm wondering, do you see in your experience, are there different challenges for male and female musicians?
Different challenges for male and female musicians. Yes, I mean, I think that, you know, it's interesting that, you know, it's, for me, I guess, it's been interesting to see how women feel, or how society makes women, this is complex answer or complex question, but, you know, where it's more about just your ability to play. You know, it's like, you know, men can feel that, you know, they are valuable because they can play this instrument really well. And women are valuable because the way they look and the way they play this instrument really well, because they're a woman.
I
so it's just
see.
A little bit different. You know, the way you present yourself, I feel like it's like, I feel like, you know, to be aware of that, but also just, I think a lot of women struggle to not try to, like, I'm trying to get the words out, but it's easy to, like, try to look a certain way or try to act a certain way to get the validation that you're looking for as a female musician, you know? It's not just about the music. And so I think that, for me, is, like, the thing that I see most, and it saddens me, too, when I see other peers of mine who feel that they have to sell something else besides the music, you know, and even if it's in a subtle way, you know, it's just like, gosh, you know. So there's like, you know, it's interesting. I was posting about my band, Baby Bushko, which is an all-female band, and I was a Kate Bush cover band, and it's all women that I have in it. There's 8 of us, and I posted on Instagram, Baby Bushka's playing this date and December 3rd, and it's 8 of the most amazing female musicians in San Diego. And one of the girls in my band was like, should take out the word female. And I was like, you're right, I should, because it is 8 of the most amazing musicians in San Diego. It has nothing to do, you know, like saying that they're female is almost like exclude, like, you know, it's adding to that whole thing, like, well, these are the great female musicians, but actually they are the most, like, some of the most amazing musicians, and it's because they're amazing musicians, and they can stand among the men, you know? It's not about, like, different categories, and in this group, this is the, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, so, it does. Yeah,
yeah,
really,
so it's just interesting that she was educating me, and I was like, you're right, I shouldn't, but it's like, yeah, it's complicated.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, out in the workplace in general, I mean, one of my favorite books is Through the Labyrinth, because it's about how complicated it is for women to sort of move, instead of moving up the corporate ladder, right, as we're sort of taught. I mean, musicians are not necessarily the corporate world, but instead of just moving in a straight path, women have to often navigate through more complicated ones because there are so many different expectations on them from our society, as you just said, Natasha. And then we internalize those expectations and figure out how we're going to react to that. And I love it. I love the advice that you got. You know, just take out the word female. We're just great musicians, Natasha.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what about running a business, too? I mean, have you noticed any differences there? I mean, I see a lot in tech. You know, I speak with a lot of tech people about how much of a challenge it is to be in that world as a woman entrepreneur, as a woman business person. In your line of work, has that been any different there, or do you see it as not making a difference?
You know, I don't really feel it so much because I'm the boss. So, like, I feel like, on the contrary, like, I feel like our school and everyone who works in it are so supportive of each other. And there's also so many strong women who work at my school, the teachers, you know. And so there's just this amazing community that we've built. And that's what it's all really all about in this you know, we think about not just being music teachers, but being role models too to all the students that are there and that are coming, especially the other young women and also young men. And everyone is so really aware of that, which I feel so grateful for, to have this team of people who care so much and care about their students and care about the bigger picture at large. And so, I don't know, I feel very fortunate to be surrounded by these teachers that inspire me and that I hopefully inspire, and it feels great. I feel really fortunate to be in the kind of workplace where everyone is allowed and free to be themselves and to support each other.
Well, that's a lesson that a lot of people could learn in the business world, too, is, like you said, being free to be yourself. I mean, authenticity is a big thing that I talk about a lot, especially with women, and it's often hard to feel that you can be authentic because there's so many pressures to be something else, right? To be what you're supposed to be. But finding a way to make it a safe space to be who you are in a supportive place as well.
Yeah.
How did you do that? I mean, what did you have specific techniques that you used, or did it just sort of come naturally? I mean, how did this happen?
Yeah. You know, I think first, it was the people that I hired or the people that I brought on. And oftentimes, you know, it was a feeling that made me want to hire the certain people that bring them on as my part of our team because of who they were, because of their personalities, because of their warmth, because of the fact that they were dreamers, you know, that I really loved. And so, you know, that's one of them. And also just, I think, you know, I try to run my school as and I've told this to everyone, you know, this is a place for everyone. Like, you here as a part of this Calabash team, you know, feel free to use this space as you want and dream. And so we have teachers who have put on their own concert series or, you know, have used the space for different things. And that's what I really love. And it's not like this is mine and you are here to do my bidding. It's more like we're all on the same page. We're all here together, and I'm not some sort of boss towering over you. No, we're all equals, and we're all here together, and we're going to support each other, and this is everybody's. Let's all share it, and let's make the most of it. And so it's that sort of attitude, the way that I try to lead everyone, that I think creates that feeling of comfort and freedom to be themselves, you know, and not feel like they have to, you know, be a certain way to please me or to, like, make me come to work every day and do this sort of thing. You know, it's a lot more relaxed than that.
Yeah, well, a word that I would use in my, again, corporate speak would be you have a vision, which you really shared. And you, I mean, everything you're saying here is that, you know, you had this vision of having a flexible place where people can dream mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. people are supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. And you create mm-hmm. a culture to make that happen. And
yes.
part of the culture is hiring people who work with that culture and who want to be a part
yes.
of that culture.
And exactly.
also, it seems like you're reinforcing it all the time by
mm-hmm.
the behaviors,
mm-hmm.
your behaviors
mm-hmm.
and the attitudes
mm-hmm.
And seeing other people reinforce that as well, because that is the way to have a culture, is to keep,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting it out there.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
Yeah. So how does it get to be in the students too? I mean, obviously you said you encourage them to write
mm-hmm.
their own music and create. How do they dream in your space?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of, I hope, and I really think it's true that we're leading by example too, because, you know, all of our teachers are not just teachers, they're all artists as well. And so I call them artist teachers because they all have, and apart from teaching, they also have their own careers that they're pursuing and they're active in their fields. And that is really important as a student, to have a teacher who isn't just there to teach you, but who's also doing things. How inspiring is that to see them, you know, pursuing their dreams as well. And I think that gives them a lot of, you know, that makes everyone feel like this is important. It's important to be yourself, to be creative, to, and through that, you know, we have students making EPs and creating their own music and improvising and coming together. And so it's just so beautiful to see that, and to see this sort of, like you said, this culture of, you know, and so, and then, and in that way, you know, I encourage all of our students and parents to recognize that their teachers are also artists, and to support them as well. And so if everyone can be flexible to that and be supportive of everyone, then it's only going to help their students' education, their child's education. And it's just that kind of atmosphere. And I see it in the students with what they're creating. And it's just, gosh, it's so inspiring. And they inspire us all the time.
Yeah, well, this has been amazing, Natasha, because I hope our listeners are catching this too, that these are life lessons. It's not just about playing music in a school.
Mm-hmm.
This is about being creative in life and being authentic in life
mm-hmm.
and supportive of each other and dreaming
yes.
and all
yes.
these things. So,
yeah.
you know, this is a way that you can have a vision and create an environment to make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. rather than getting caught up in the doldrums of the way we think it's supposed to be. So
yes.
I hope our listeners are inspired to go out and be creative entrepreneurs. And
I hope so too.
Yeah. So, you know, we're running out of time here. So I'll say that's our show for today. And I'd like to say thank you to Natasha for being our leading lady today. So thanks, Natasha.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me. That was so lovely. Thank you.
I know. It's so much fun and so fast. But let's say special thanks to all our listeners too. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show, as we're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. Our next leading lady is Angela Watts with Slide Handboards, and our topic will be sliding in the business shark tank. I'm Joni Cannell, host of Real Life Lessons. Thank you for listening, and remember, real women are resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.